Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Another blessed day on this Saturday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And we're grateful to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. We thank God for all you that are listening to this broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, gender, or whatever place that you're from. We want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at the email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Praise be to God. So once again, today is Saturday. For those of you that follow us on Blog Talk Radio, you know what that means. Heart to Heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens, and I will be joining them. And therefore, as we await till my brother come on to head this off, once again, for those of you listening, let us go into prayer. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty, true and living God, you are the everlasting God. We're grateful once again for another day that you have blessed us to come together. Father, we pray, Lord God, that you would touch those today, the widows, Lord God, who may be feeling lonely, Lord God, that you would comfort them by your Spirit. And touch the children that have lost a father or a mother or perhaps both parents. And Lord God, I pray that you would keep them and not let them fall into all types of sins and abomination. And don't let the enemy lead them astray. Father, I pray today, Lord God, for those who are in the hospitals. And Lord God, who have been pronounced sicknesses and diseases over them. I pray that you will manifest your power, deliverance, and healing. And break them, break these sickness and disease off the people in the name of Jesus. I pray for those that are laboring with your word and that is suffering persecution, not only verbally, but physically. The Lord God, that you would sustain them, make them strong, and still make them a testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that you would send your holy angels to be camped round about them and protect them in the name of Jesus against the plans and plots of the adversary. I pray for those who have been praying, Lord God, that you will open their eyes, that their eyes will be open. I pray that the blind scales be removed, that they will see the plans of deception, even not only by Satan, but Satan working through man, that they will not fall into the net of deception in Jesus' name. I pray for those, Lord God, who have prayed and said, Lord, open my ears. And Father, I pray that you would touch their ears now and let them hear the voice of your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we just thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, and Father, we thank you. Amen and amen. God bless you, brother.
Amen, amen, beloved. Shalom. I count it all a privilege and a joy again to join together with you in fellowship and sharing the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and his grace. Thank God for this moment. This historical moment that God has ordained before the foundation of the world, this hour, this moment, in the history of God's planning, he has ordained that we should be alive. I don't think it's an accident that we happen to be living now. I don't think it was just a coincidence that we are sharing the gospel on Blog Talk Radio. So I'm grateful for the privilege. I don't think it was an accident that we were born in America and raised in America, in God's greatest nation, the most favored nation, the center of world deliverance. I don't think it was an accident. I don't think it was a coincidence in this time in the history of God. So I am, you know, greatly honored that the Lord will cause me to be born and we can share the gospel together at this moment of history. Give glory to Jesus Christ as Lord for this moment.
Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. I agree, brother. We are very grateful for such a time as this that we're able to give the gospel. Amen. You know, and give God the glory.
Oh, yes. To sound the alarm in Zion, you know, that saying in Isaiah and prophet about sounding the voice of the alarm about the coming of Jesus Christ and his kingdom, such a divine privilege, because the airways all over the world are used for a lot of things, some good, some excellent, some spiritually, some business, education, some wonderful things. But then the airways, many nations are being used, seem to be controlled and influenced by Satan and evil. So I'm just glad that we have the opportunity to counteract some things that Satan and evil is doing on the airwaves.
Amen. Yeah, I agree. Amen.
Thank God. Hallelujah. For the blood of Jesus, his death and his suffering and his resurrection, that we are alive today. Realize that we are alive one more day, and we are indebted to the Lord. I will rejoice and be glad, and we are alive, you know. And while today, you know, thousands of people who passed away around the world, but we're still here and with a purpose and God's calling. And so I'm grateful. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. This is Handmaid tonight. Didn't make it last night. I hope you all had a great time. And the women missionary carried on.
Oh, yeah. That definitely happened, brother. You know that definitely happened. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we're calling for the voices of Zion, the daughters of Zion, to come forth in Jesus' name. So we have two missionary women of God who've been courageous, Sister Lillian Allison and Sister Helen Teagan. We just want to highly appreciate you. And then also those that are supporting us behind the scene who are praying for us. And so we thank God for them and the support of many people he that has ears to hear. I don't know, the nations of the earth are in derision and confusion and chaos. So we hopefully that we can give some light and some hope to somebody, whether it is in Istanbul, whether it's in Turkey, whether it's in Syria, Venezuela, Brazil, Mexico, Australia, South Africa, East or West Africa, whether it's in any area of the world, even Russia and Saudi Arabia and Ethiopia, that the Lord God is concerned about every nation on this earth. Whether the battles of the cartels, drugs in Mexico and Turkey and Syria, Esau and China, North Korea, the Lord God in Ethiopia and Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, in Siam, Bermuda, the Lord God is deeply concerned, and his finger is on those nations.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So, I was talking about the reluctant servant, the reluctant prophet, Jonah, and we learned a lot about the reluctancy of many people who pull it back or drawing back from the finger and the call of God upon their lives, and seeing that they have been distracted by something else, introduced by something else. So we're talking about what happened to Jonah the prophet, who refused his assignment and call upon his life. There's always some consequences from rejecting the call of God to salvation, redemption, and also to the ministry assignment. So there is no greater problem. One of the greatest privilege that a man and woman has is the finger and the voice of God saying, I have chosen you, I have assigned you, I have called you, and I've raised you up for such a time like this. For such a time, I have chosen you out of the many millions. I put my finger, my voice, my handprint upon you, and I'm calling you as a son, as an heir, to be used to bless many people by the gospel. And so sometimes people, they yank back, they pull back, or they get distracted, or they get seduced by something else, and we're losing the greatest time and purpose of their lives by withdrawing. I know I may have failures in the past. I see mistakes, slothfulness, but I also see the kindness and compassion of the living God who said, okay, let's move forward. And Jonah refused his assignment and charge. So if you got a lot of Jonahs out there who's saying, I can't go, I won't go, I can't declare, I can't promote the kingdom of God and the Lord who created, made me the Redeemer, I just can't do it. I got other things to do in my life that are more important. I got another plan. I will say to you, consider deeply your response. Moses, the greatest prophet in scripture history, did not want to go as he argued with Jehovah in the mountain. And I understand that as a human being. I definitely understand that. And Moses, as he was called to the mount of Sinai, Pisgah, he's called with a meeting with the Most High God, great Jehovah, the Creator, and he's given an assignment. Wow. And he says, no, I can't do it. Oh, hey, you got the wrong guy. Call Brother Nate, somebody else. Call whoever. I don't want to do it. I can't do it. You sent me on an impossible mission. And Jehovah was having a conversation with Moses in the mount. And he was trying to weasel out, like we do too, and trying to find a way to get out of that assignment and that call, because it was a mission impossible. Reluctant Moses. Amen. Haven't we all come to, many people have come to that place in their lives when Jesus ordained, called, and said, I have chosen you, and I have given you this honor to be used of me in a particular area to help and bless people in all nations. So, you know, that's a great privilege when God put his finger upon your hand and on your life and voice and say, come unto me, I will send you, I will direct you to bless many people. I think that's a great honor. And responsibility and trust, too, of course. And the responsibility and the trust is what people run from. I can understand the responsibility and the trust that goes with it. But the Lord is a gracious and kind and caring, and he will help us to fulfill our mission. He will not leave you alone on your assignment, your heavenly assignment in the earth. So he will, you know, he will guide us and direct us, teach us by the Holy Ghost, and empower and inspire us and say, yeah, you're going to make some mistakes. Sure, you're going to do some stumbling, but that's okay. Let's move. I'm going to take you through your mistakes and your failures and move you on. Don't let the devil discourage you. Don't let the world discourage you. You're on an assignment. You're on my assignment. And so many people are drawn back, being seduced, carried away from their heavenly assignment. But we pray that they will come to us and say, Lord Jesus, I done ran enough. I'm not going to go through the Jonah, reluctant prophet. I don't want to go through what Jonah went through. Say amen. You still there,
amen.
Brother?
Amen. I'm here.
Okay.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes, I keep telling this because my phone is not exactly cold, because that's why I keep asking, can you hear me?
Right. Right, yeah. And, you know, Brother Kevin tried to, I think it was that same night you came on with us, what was that, Thursday? And
yeah, mm-hmm.
he actually tried to get on, I think, four to five times in a row. Every time his call kept dropping. Every time I patch him on, his call kept dropping. I said, wow, that devil didn't want, I guess the devil said, hey, one of y'all enough. I can't have four of y'all. You know, hitting me inside the head.
I guess the devil got a little hyper because he said, y'all ganging up on me. Y'all ain't playing fair.
Amen. And so he tried to cut folks off.
You know, when we started the broadcast back here over a year ago, he used to do that quite a bit to us. He did it a lot to me.
Yes.
I mean, he was just cutting in, cutting off and dropping, but I refused to give up. I mean,
amen.
I would go 20 minutes trying to get on. I would try to get on the broadcast. I would go to 15 to 20 minutes sometime trying to get on.
Praise the Lord for the power of God. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for a better day.
Hallelujah.
And a better way. Thank God for Jesus intervening. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Well, I would say to the people in Mexico that are crying, Brazil, Brazil, in South Africa, been on my mind. And you know the islands has been on my mind, and I don't know why the areas of the North Pole and Far East has been on my mind. Hallelujah to Jesus. I think the finger of God is the finger of the living God, the eternal God. His finger is pointing toward them to cause them to arise, because the power of the gospel of Jesus is coming to revive them and awaken them. Thank God for the missionaries. That's why I was thinking a few minutes, brother, and these thoughts come a few minutes. I was sitting there, I say, why is it that the Western world in particular and many other worlds do not believe in the new area of the testament of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Why is it that he does not believe? He can believe that a woman can be a wife to the children and a husband and a wife to her husband, but that a woman can't be a husband to the Lord Jesus Christ in the body of Christ enough to share the gospel.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that, why there was such an offshoot in the world about the women's role in life, in husband and wife and business, but in the kingdom of God, they're not equally as sons and daughters. You know, the women and all people are equally called sons in God in Romans 8, heirs and joint heirs. But a son or a daughter is not allowed to minister grace to her husband, the Lord Jesus, and the body of Christ, and to the world, cannot talk and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thought that was kind of, I was thinking about that. I don't know why I keep thinking about that so much. There's certain things God just keep putting on your mind and your spirit. And I think a lot of people are missing some things that need to have their eyes open about the last day move of God called the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12, the body of Christ. He called everyone that's born again, saved, Holy Ghost filled, sanctified, baptized in Jesus, walk in the newness of life. He called them sons, not only just servants, disciples, but he called all of them sons and daughters, sons and daughters, sons and daughters, heirs and joint heirs. So every part of the body of Christ, whether male or female, now he don't have any, I'm sorry, somebody going to get in trouble, he doesn't have any transgenders in the body of Christ. Am I right? I could be wrong.
Amen. Amen. You're right.
Well, correct me, brother, because I just want to get it straight. Sons and daughters, male and female, you know, I mean, I want to get it straight. I don't want to offend nobody. I don't think he got any bis or trans or any of those kind of people. Those people are yet to find their identity in Christ and find deliverance. I understand they're in confusion, they're under a curse, and they just need the real gospel to convict and the finger of God to deliver them in Jesus' name. I understand that. Because that could be me, could be some of your kin people, some of your cousins. There could be anybody trapped in that sin and that bondage, and it could have been me, and so I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. And I have to deal with other things. Other people got to deal with other curses. But Jesus came to be a curse and sin for us to deliver us from all the curse that followed us through Adam. And these curses came through the fall of Adam. And Adam's nature caused all this sin we see manifested in the world called confusion. Now, I don't know who they are, brother, male or female. The devil loves confusion, don't he?
Oh, yeah, he do. He loves it a whole lot. Amen. That's why we keep beating him upside the head with the word like we do.
Yeah, we got to get a bigger stick and start whipping him and whopping him. And whopping
Amen.
Him to the ground. Amen. Oh, sorry, brother. Kevin, we miss you. Our brother, his a strategy interviews on the kingdom of God. Was always a blessing. We miss him greatly, our brother Kevin and Emmanuel, our strategies. I hope they are planning the plan of God. I know both of them lost their mothers, and them being young men and having spiritual, highly spiritual, but both of them, Kevin had a higher spiritual woman and mother of God, and Brother Emmanuel had a highly faithful spiritual woman of God, his mother, Sister Elaine, and I know how that can make them feel, because their mothers was not only a mother biologically, but the mother in God in them, and a mentor of their faith, Sister Elaine to Brother Emmanuel and her children, and Sister Brother Kevin Bruce, his mother, a friend and a sister. She was very dynamic and faithful in the things of God, and so they'll be missed greatly. And I know these young men miss their mothers, but you know we all suffer loss. And we all suffer loss, but we gain and we move on. Amen. So thank God for another day. Now, you ever heard of the term Siam, C-S-I-M, a place called Guam and Siam?
Yeah, I have heard, yeah.
Well, the Lord Jesus wants us to point our finger towards Guam, Siam, Bermuda, because there's winds and stuff, the winds of the earth, but the winds of the mighty God of Jacob is going to blow on them too. But they're going to have winds coming out of, coming not only the southeast and Caribbean, and the winds are going to be going to come the far north. It's going to be moving. In the North Pole, there is coming a mighty shifting of the creases of the earth. And we're going to feel it all the way to California, all the way to Kentucky, all the way to California East Coast, up to New Jersey, New York, because God wants us to awaken and cry out for revival and spiritual awakening. He wants to get our attention. He wants to shift us from our slumbering and sleep and deliver us. And Siam, I don't know, Bermuda, oh, and all the way to the North Pole, he's about to have the earthly shaking, and we're going to see volcanoes, winds, turbulence, and we also come in cough with great hunger going to spread over the United States. And but the Lord has planned a deliverance for the faithful. I said the Lord has preserved a way of deliverance for the faithful in Christ. He always, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I like that promise, 37th Psalm. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I like that, brother.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. A way of deliverance. During these days that the earth is going to be plighted with many pestilence and many difficulties, but the righteous stands in the place of hope and deliverance. My God will deliver us in the hour of our test. Jesus has promised, and he is faithful. We're glad today for the handmaidens all over the world, the women, who are the backbone of God's church and the work of God in the home. And many other places, the women are the backbone in many places. Thank God for them. Hallelujah. Amen. They're the rib and the backbone. Amen.
Yeah.
I don't, a lot of people understand why I honor the women on a particular day, because my mother, my grandmother, my aunties from growing up, those women, I was so blessed to be in a family where men and women, I had a legacy, brother, that is imparted to my life, and the women and the older women and grandmothers and aunties and on the other side was such a blessing in that part of my life and the legacy that God gave me. I have to honor the women, my grandmother, my mothers, my auntie. Oh, my God, I have to give them special recognition and honor. I'm sorry if people think I'm just only for the women. That's just where you want to take it that way. But I want you to know one thing. You would not have got here if it was not a woman to bear you in her womb. So Don't think that lightly, that the woman had to bear you for 9 months. Hallelujah. The men didn't carry you. They helped produce you, but they didn't carry you for no 9 months. Oh, man.
Amen.
I don't
Amen.
Care if you don't like it. I'm going to honor my mother and my aunties, not only the women of God, and God gave me precious women to be with me in God in the ministry, like Sister Lane and Sister Clark and Sister Crockett and Dees and Sister Bruce, Sally Bruce. I mean, just so many women I really highly appreciate. So I'm going to, they're my spiritual mothers and sisters, and so I'm just going to honor them while I have a chance. And the great women of God, I want to say to you, the wives that are suffering in every nation, that the Lord is mindful of you, and he will hear your prayers. If you're faithful to come from your hearts in sincerity, he will bring sin and deliverance for you and your children. Don't give up. He sees and hears. So thank God for the moment that we have the praying and cunning and intercessive women. I have a sensitivity to understand in my latter life about women's role, mothers and wives, in the plan of God. And I speak of this often because that's what I'm called to. I was thinking, Dr. Fred Price, over 20, 25 years, was given an assignment to talk about racism in the church. That was his assignment. I mean, people got mad at him because he was given a special assignment. Over 25 years, Dr. Fred Price, L.A., was told to expose race relationship and racism in the church and the Christian church over the years. And he was given an assignment to speak and expose that. So that don't make you popular when you expose something, brother. When you tell the truth and you're on an assignment, that don't make it make people go. Many people are going to dislike you when you're on God's assignment. Many people are going to receive you and love you, but many people are going to despise you.
Amen. Amen.
So if you can't take the heat, what? Get out of the kitchen, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Gotta get
Listen,
out of here.
The prophet Moses did not want to go to Egypt. He was arguing, debating. Jonah, the prophet, he reneged and was reluctant, pulled back, and went another way. He said, I ain't going. I'm going to take a ship. I'm taking a ticket, and I'm going to go see the rest of the country and join me. I ain't going. No Nineveh and tell them that God's going to destroy them if they don't. Oh, you want me to go tell them you're going to destroy them in 3 days? A message like that? Oh, what, you trying to get me killed, Lord? What's up with that? Well, Jonah didn't go until he came to himself in the bottom of the sea in a fish's belly where you don't want to be. So all of you out there who are runaways and reluctant, run on to Jesus. He's waiting on you. Hallelujah. He's waiting with your open arms.
Amen.
He's not waiting with a
Amen.
Hatchet or a hatchet to cut your head. He's welcoming you with open arms like the prodigal son. He had his arms of love and compassion said, I'm glad to see you came back. I have a blessing for you on your assignment. Amen. All right. I want to read a couple of things up, if you don't mind, brother. And if anybody out there wants to take these scriptures down, I welcome you to take these scriptures down. They might be a help to you. And I'm sure they would, because it is from the Holy Scriptures. It is from the Bible and the Gospels and the prophets. So if you want to be helped to answer and come to understanding about a certain thing, these scriptures are going to help you. The Bible says, search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. Search the scriptures. Search my word. They're the light of my salvation. So I want you that the revelation of truth, that the Holy Spirit will help you to comprehend and understand things better if you are in a derision or you're in trap or in the indecision. The word of God is there to be wisdom to you, to help you to find your way. I'm going to read some scriptures to you right quickly, and then it turn it over to my beloved sisters. And, you know, Brother Jesus, in Matthew 24, made these statements. Matthew 24, you can start at verse, we can go all the way from 12 verse down to the 23rd. But I'm going to read a couple of statements that Jesus told us to be aware as we are living in the latter days of the last generation. Jesus kept saying, repeating this, take heed that no man deceive you. Wonder why he kept saying that.
Because many, strong deception would be in these last days.
Many shall come in my name and say, I'm Christ, and deceive many. Now, he kept saying many. He didn't say a few. Notice he didn't, well, he didn't say a few. He said many. Many is many, right? A multitude. He said multitudes are going to be deceived in the latter days. I don't want to be among that multitude, do you?
Oh, amen. I'm with you on that one, brother. No, sir.
I got your boat, huh?
You got me on that one.
But you know what he says about the last days of the church, days of the church age, of the last generation which we are living in? Take heed that no man deceive you. Many shall come in my name saying that I'm of Christ, or I'm a Christian, or I am actually the Christ, or I'm a follower of Christ, or I'm a representative of Christ, and deceive. I don't want to be among the many. Not that many. He also Amen. Said in Matthew 24, many false prophets shall arise, shall come, that shall rise false Christ. False prophets, a prophecy, showing great signs and wonders, and if it was possible, the very elect would be deceived. Behold, I told you before it come to pass, that you may be aware. Now, he kept repeating this about the latter days. Behold, I told you. And so we are reading it 2,000 years later, this warning.
Amen. Amen.
And I wanted to read a scripture called Isaiah chapter 30, if you'll get me, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1 and 2.
Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1 and 2. The word of God says, woe to the rebellious children, say the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt.
Now, since we are living in the latter days, the end of time, the church age, the last generation just before Christ come, this applies particularly to us in this age about the spirit of the Antichrist, the anti-gospel, the spirit of religion and deception that has spread over the whole earth. And there is a safeguard and a warning given to us. Isaiah gave us a warning, an exhortation, and a safeguard. I call it a safeguard. Read Isaiah 30 and 1 and 2 again.
Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1 and 2. Woe to the rebellious children, say the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked in my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt.
Now, that was a wake-up call for people, particularly in the church age, the Christian believers, as well as sinners, the ungodly also. But he also said something in the Gospel of John, chapter 3 of the Gospel of John, beginning at verse 17-20.
John chapter 3, verse 17, verse 20. And the word of God says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved."
Now, you notice he put that in there, and most people don't read it. They say God so loved the world, and they leave the rest of it off. But there is a safeguard and a warning awareness that Jesus told us, that he, by the light, difference between light and darkness and deception. And he tells you how you're going to discern. He says, now listen, because they will not believe. Now, what is it that they will not believe, brother? Or what they won't believe on in the latter day, or they shall depart from. What is it that's going to keep them from being deceived? What did he say in those verses that's so outstanding for us to be aware?
Well, he talks about believing on him, on Jesus Christ, the word that was made flesh. That's what he was telling us in there, believing in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Yeah, but he said something else. See, this is something he said, something else. There's something else in there, too, that he warned us to be awakened. Read that 17 and 20 verse. There's a couple more things in there, too.
"For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on
first
him
truth.
Is not condemned."
The first truth. Now, notice the first truth, that the world can only be saved or redeemed through him. Okay, what's the second?
The second truth is that he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Now, you notice the believing is on him, but it's not just on him, it's what he said. Now, listen, you can believe on a person, but you don't know what they say, what they stand for. So what is it that Jesus revealed that you must believe on in order not to be deceived? Is his teaching and what he said. If you don't know what he said and what he's taught, and walk therein, you will go astray in darkness. Now, how are you going to be kept from this deception darkness? He that has ear, let him hear what I said, what I taught, and what I demonstrated. Now, what's the other next truth?
"And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil."
Okay. The third thing is, Jesus said, "I'm the light that was told to come to lighten every man who was born in darkness and sin." But some people will refuse the light and love darkness and will hate and reject the light of who is Christ, the light of salvation and redemption. They said that beware those people of all religions that reject Jesus Christ as the deity, Son of God, as the only Redeemer, and his word as being the last and the ultimate truth. This is how you're going to divide between false religion and deception in the last days. Now, he gives us all these three rules to be aware, to guard ourselves. Now, what's the next truth?
"For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved."
Listen to what he says, especially in the latter day, brother. Listen to what he says about the people that love light, love darkness, and refuse to come to the light. I'm the light and salvation. You know, David said, the Lord God is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, Matthew 12. Whoever finds me and walk in the light of life shall not stumble. Now, and I listen now, to call you out of darkness and sin into the marvelous light of life. I am the life and the resurrection, John chapter 11. Now, everyone that hears the gospel of Christ is given a decision. Everyone that hears the teachable revelation of truth as written in the scriptures called the gospel of Christ is given a decision. Given a decision. So in the latter day, as we get closer to the end, people are going to cast off the teachings of Jesus Christ and the gospel and call it north. In America, 50% of the people in this Christian nation, 50%, brother, or more. Need I add any more to that about this 50%? The other half of the world is still in darkness. Now, I know TV preachers tell you that the gospel kingdom has gone to all the world, but that's not quite accurate. Not quite accurate. Jesus said in Matthew 24, this gospel. Now, what kind of gospel are you talking about in the end in Matthew? What is he talking about? People have been preaching ever since Jesus left. What are you talking about at the very end, Matthew 24 and 24? This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all nations. Then shall they, well, what's different from this gospel in the end time that's been a little different from what people have been preaching up to that time? Must be some more light, diffusing error and traditions and darkness of men. Well, anyway, let's move on. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, brother, if you will. Appreciate it. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 1 to 5.
I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry.
Now, he's talking about our generation, our day, our time thing. And he says four things, principal things in there. Did you get the first one, brother? I mean, you got to comment on what he says that will happen in our day?
Yes. One of the things that he talks about that happened in our day would not be the enduring of sound doctrine, the true doctrine of Christ, and how that the people were going to heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. And brother, a lot of people, you know, some people don't understand that's one of the troubles that happened with the body of Christ, even in the time of the early church, that the people did not endure the true doctrine of Christ according to the word after their own lust. And that's a key. You know, out of their own forbidden desires, they heap unto themselves teachers, having engineers, people that would teach them what they wanted to hear, you know, instead of coming with the word of God.
What is it that they most rejected most in the latter day? that people do not want to hear this sound foundational teaching that Jesus and the apostles taught in the beginning. Now, I'm talking about, when I use the word apostles, I'm not talking about modern-day apostles. I'm talking about the first apostles who were the foundation. Because I've got to clear it up. Because we've got a lot of apostles in these last days, right? People call it the apostles,
yeah.
Right?
Well, we even got chief apostles, brother. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not going to get into that day about just about everybody wants to be an apostle now. I noticed that back 30 years ago, everybody wanted to be a prophet. Before
right.
that, everybody wanted to be an evangelist. So I know
right.
it's shifting now. Everybody is an apostle. Everybody wants to be an apostle.
And a chief apostle on top of that, brother.
Well, they're even chief. And I am not saying whether some of them are not. I'm not going to say that some of them may not have been called to true apostles. I'm not saying that some of them may be called. I'm not going to chat, but I'm suspect, but I ain't going to get into that. We got people calling themselves
yeah.
apostles and prophets a lot. And Jesus told us, be aware now. Be alert. He said, you're going to hear a lot of stuff that's taught. You better go to the scriptures and search them diligently. Even though they give you signs and wonders, go to the scriptures and see. All right, let's move on a little further. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 9. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 9.
This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous,
no.
boasters.
First thing he starts out, men shall be lovers of what?
Of their own selves.
We got to say that again. Men shall be lovers of their own?
Their own selves.
No, I don't think people heard that. Men shall be lovers of their own?
Of them own selves.
Okay, a sign. What's the next sign?
Covetousness.
Covetous?
Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers.
Wow.
Disobedient to parents. Unthankful.
No. No.
Unholy?
No.
Without natural affection? Truth breaker.
Without natural affection? No.
Without natural affection? Truth breakers.
Truth breaker? No.
False accusers. Incontinent. Fierce.
No. What?
Despisers of those that are good.
Despisers of who?
Traitors. Despisers of those that are good.
Despisers of that which is good and those of good? No.
Right. Traitors?
No.
Traitors?
Heady.
High-minded? Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God.
More than what? More than lovers of God.
Right. Lovers
Did you
of pleasures
more
than
lovers of God?
Right.
So many things going to make me repent, brother, and search my heart and humble me. Put a check on me, Lord. Put a check on me. Now, Jesus. Now, I want you to go to 1 Timothy, chapter 4, 1 Timothy. We're getting an ear how we can avoid being tricked or deceived and being awake. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning verse 1 to 3.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats,
which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth.
What do you get from that, brother? What kind of warning in the letter did you get from that? Because I just hear a lot of things coming from religious so-called leaders. A lot of them are saying, we're all serving the same God, some kind of stuff like that. It don't matter what you're taught or what group you're in agreement with or fellowship with. It's all the same. We all one religion. We all going the same way. Even the Pope has made three statements that most Christians have not taken heed to. The Pope has made three or four dividing principle statements that most Christians have not paid attention to what he has said. And the last statement the other week, he made another very significant statement of declaration where he stands and what he stands for. Now, before that, he had made, because he calls himself the head of the Christian church. Now, listen what the Pope did. Most of the world, do you hear me, brother?
Yes, I hear you clear.
Brother, do you know that most of the world, even the Christian world, believe that the Pope is the head of the Christian church?
That's true. I agree with you on that one. They do.
And I'm not just talking about sinners and the nations and business world and the government. I'm talking about people who refer themselves Bible-believing Christians who swallow that. Now,
amen.
I'm picking on the Pope, and you ought not to do that. Now, I'm picking on the devil.
Right.
And it's deceiving. It's deceiving. How do you think that the Mormons got into so much darkness and false doctrine? How do you think that happened when they started on the right road? Ask yourself, how did the so-called Roman, Greco-Roman church evolve in today? It don't look like anything in the New Testament church. It doesn't look like hardly anything in the New Testament church that Jesus is
right.
That. And most of the world believe, I said most of them, and most religions of the world recognize the Pope as the head. He's not my head, but I mean, you know, I understand that if you want to make him your head. I have no problem with that. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Well,
now, he made
you know
a statement.
You know what, brother, and to go with what you said there, and you know, it's amazing how that, you know, people not stand in tune with the Spirit of God and in the Word of God, because I had even told people, I said, you know, the Pope had been playing this in-between game for a while. I said, but now he just coming straight on out now. I said, and people are acting shocked. I said, well, I don't know why you were shocked, because, you know, he was letting you know all the time in the questions that you was asking him, in the answers that he gave.
We could spend a whole three programs on that deception, Revelation 12, how the whole world is under deception by false religion and deception. But we're not going to be able to do that tonight, about how, if it was possible, the very elect would be deceived, if it was possible. Now, but we're not going to go in particularly that. We're going to have to use that another day, how the whole world will find themselves practically in darkness and false religion and deception. But I want to talk about the safeguards, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. I want to talk about this safeguards that Jesus gave us, that we may not be overtaken with the deception of the lying deception in the latter days, where many will be deceived. I don't want to be deceived, Lord. I want to leave nobody else in deception. I don't want to teach deception, but I want to find myself humbly in the light of Christ. And I'm looking at these scriptures to tell me to be alert and how to divide, rightly divide, rightly divide. Isaiah chapter 8 and 20. What's the safeguards, especially in these latter days? Isaiah 8 and 20.
To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them.
Okay, how are we going to divide? How are we going to judge, brother? I know people don't understand the word judge because some people are kind of uninformed, educated to spiritual truth and principles, so they don't want you to use that word judge. But the Bible used that word a lot, judge. Judge and judgment. Judge and judgment. Judge and judgment. Which means to discern or uncover, to see or reveal, to judge something, whether it's light or darkness. Light or darkness, truth or error. Now, notice what he said. The first safeguard, if they speak not according to what?
According to this
first,
word.
If they speak not according to what?
To this word.
To his law, testimony, and prophecy. Three things. Because God never depend on one thing for you to discern the truth. It has to be more than two, three, how you're going to discern the truth. God does not want you to rely upon one thing. God never established any truth upon one scripture. He always established on more than two or three or four. Remember that. People have to remember that. It's not one area you discern. It's three or four. The Bible said, in Matthew, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established, every truth be established. So you're going to have three things. He starts off to the law and the testimony. Now, who's the testimony? We know the testimony is Jesus. The law is the Old Testament. Then the testimony is Jesus in the New Testament. The law, the prophet. The prophets, what they said. Three things. The law, the prophets, Jesus, and the testimony of Jesus is the Christ, the Redeemer. Those three things are the first principles that you have to be aware of when people leave those three principles. If you want to divide, you want to upend the pattern of how God works to keep you from being deceived, go to the law, the testimony, the prophets. Hallelujah. But the final say so is found in the New Testament. Now, this is how you're going to seek to be seen. He gives you, now let's go. See, now, you got to have three or more witnesses to prove to keep them. You got to have more than three witnesses, not one. One, you can't depend on one thing. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Paul, the apostles, gave a warning way back there, Galatians chapter 1, New Testament, writing to the church of Galatia, because they was in trouble. Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6 to 9. And the Apostle Paul, who probably was the greatest, the greatest evangelist apostle of his day and time, as well as an evangelist, apostle, teacher, prophet, missionary that you ever would see, and unveiled the mysteries of God along with the Apostle John. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 to 9. Safeguard, safeguard. How to keep from safeguard. Chapter 1, verse 6 to 9.
I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that call you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not
another,
another
what?
But there, another gospel.
Another what?
Which is not another gospel.
Move to another what? Another gospel.
Right.
Now, I love my Roman Catholic people. I love Jehovah's Witness, Christian Science people. I love my Mormon people. But they don't come up with another what?
Another gospel.
You mean it's not the gospel of Christ as written in the scriptures?
Not the gospel of Christ.
Well, how am I going to judge that? Read the scriptures. How am I going to discern it? He said, my word is the judge. That's one of the judgment. That's one of the discerners. That's one of them. You ain't got no business. I'm going to, wait a minute. You say, I don't have no business? Then my question, dude, did you call me? Did you charge me? Did you send me? Are you my God? Are you my Lord? Now, I appreciate your comments, but did you call me? Did you die for me? Did you rise again from me? Now, if I'm mistaken or in error, correct me. That's okay. But did you send me on the assignment? Did you give me the charge? Then you're going to tell me what my business is. My business is preach the word, warn, exalt. Go ahead, Brother Nate. Read that again. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and 9. The warning, the alert. Read.
I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that call you to the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let them be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
Now, Paul said, go back and see what I taught. For I was given the assignment to unveil the mysteries and the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. Follow every principle that I taught. Measure everything by the principles that I taught and revealed. For I was set and raised up in due season to preach the unadulterated pure gospel of Jesus Christ. And it still stands today if you want to discern between darkness and light. Now, here's another warning. He said, everyone that confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is what? Is of the Antichrist.
Is Antichrist. Amen.
Everyone that refused to accept and confess and acknowledge and submit that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world and rose again, that he was the very Son of God and broke the bands of death and had risen at the right hand of the Father, if they do not confess that or acknowledge that, it's the spirit of the Antichrist. Well, I almost got my sister time, but I got one more scripture I got to read to safeguard. I got two scriptures I got to read right quick. 1 Corinthians 15, 2 Corinthians 15, verse 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 and 2.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain.
Okay, read the verse, next two verses.
For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the
okay.
grace of God, which was with me.
All right. This is his testimony. If any religion or any deity, any teaching, or anyone that proclaimed to be of the living God, or religion, or whatever, that refused to accept these principles, foundations, teaching of the gospel that I just gave, that Paul just explained, if they refuse to acknowledge every one of them and submit to them, then you know what? You know what? You can discern. You now know not to be deceived.
Amen.
Yeah, but you can't judge. I ain't judged, baby. Paul has already gave me the judgment of God. He's already given me the light of God. I'm not judging. That's his word. That's God's judgment. I don't care whether there's 1 billion Muslim, 60 million of Confucius, Islam, or a Hindu. Paul has said to these people that Christ died for all of them to bring them out of darkness into the marvelous light of this truth. Now, if they refuse, if they're hearing it, they love darkness and deception and remain in it. And so these are not my words. It's not my judgment. Oh, you judge. You can call it what you want, baby. I'm just telling you what thus said the Lord. You can judge the Lord if you want to and call him a whatever you want to call him, because it ain't my word. Paul says, this is what I preach. Now let's go right quick. First Peter, then I turn over to Sister. First Peter, chapter 1. First Peter, if these things that will keep you from deceiving, being fall into deception in these last days. First Peter, chapter 1, verse 18. First Peter, chapter 1 to 18, verse 23. Chapter 1, verse 18 to 23.
For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls, and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever.
Now, he sums this up. Peter gives that we just read about four different five witnesses. And the Apostle Peter, who walked with Jesus, who was taught of Jesus, among the 12, and the Apostle Paul, one of the early apostles, the first and second witness of these two apostles, the prophets that I read to you, four witnesses, or five. And they sort of sums it up. Now, I got other scriptures here that talks a little bit more, which I won't get in today, about the last days not being deceived. Jesus said many. Didn't say a few. Matthew 20. He didn't say a few. Didn't say nothing about no few. Didn't use the word few. When about, he talks about the Antichrist, the false prophet. He talks about false gospel, the false religions. And he says, how are you going to discern? Now, I gave you enough scripture today to discern a lot of things. But there's a few more things you need to be aware of that I'm not going to get to, concerning the spirit of the Antichrist and the beast and false religion and deception and false Christianity. So I just want to make us aware that we be not deceived nor deceive anybody. That's why, brother, I refuse to stand by anything that will not stand on the solid rock. Jesus said, upon this rock I build my people. If you build your life upon what I said and what I did, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. Now, a lot of people use them and say, oh, I believe in Jesus. And so a lot of people are tricked. Oh, they believe. But brother, believing on Jesus is not going to be the answer. You must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and believe his words, his gospel. You ask them about what he taught, what his gospel. Well, he's just a good man and a prophet. No. That don't save you. Well, he's just one of the good masters. That don't save you. That don't redeem you. And you thought that they was followers of Jesus Christ and his teaching just because they said they believe in Jesus. Oh, Confucius, they believe in Jesus. The Hindu believe in Jesus. The Charlemagne, they believe in Jesus. But that's no salvation in that. Not redemption. Okay, then. All right. I have to finish this up. That we do not have to be deceived. It was possible the very elect would be. That's how close it's going to be. I don't want to be among that group. I choose to be among the humble and faithful and true to build my house upon the rock that Jesus established in Matthew 16. I don't care about all these 100 million. You say, well, you can't judge these 100 million people's religion. They believe what they believe. Yeah, they have a right. But my responsibility is to make sure they know the will of the sovereign and the eternal God concerning light and darkness, salvation, heaven and hell, and eternity with God and without God. All right, Sister Anderson and Sister, my dear beloved missionaries.
She is on. God bless you, Sister Anderson.
God bless you, brothers. God bless you. And I was listening to that blessed word. Thank God. Thank God for revealing. Well, to some, it's a mystery of the kingdom. And I thank and I praise the Lord for the word coming forth for rightly dividing the truth. And also just thank and I praise the Lord because it is showing the people, including myself, different places in Christ. And I just thank and I praise the Lord. And the brother and I on the broadcast last night, I just thank and I praise the Lord because there have been times when I wondered, you know, that people have, they came to Christ and they really repented and gave their life over to Christ and was baptized. I've seen the Lord work and use them. And then it was like they walked away. And that has been on my heart. And I've searched for some of the people. And I thank and I praise the Lord for just coming forth and just revealing, you know, the different places in Christ. Because it talks about in the Word that some fell by the wayside and how some fell on stony ground, which is no depth, and among thorns, no root, good ground, and it brought forth fruit. Hundredfold and some 60-fold and some 30-fold is how they came forth. They repented. They received the word, but it was the death in Christ Jesus in the word. And therefore, we have to lay hold on the word that was brought forth tonight in order for us to rightly divide the truth of Christ Jesus. And I thank God for that word because when we do that, That is part of us, and the Lord is revealing more and more about putting on that full armor, dressing in that full armor. And I thank God for the lesson that came forth because it was truly a lesson to me and to a part of helping bring forth our defense and that full armor of Christ Jesus. And I just thank the Lord for it.
Amen.
Amen.
We want to welcome on Sister Helen, too. God bless you, Sister Helen.
Amen. Thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for the great word that went forth on tonight.
Amen.
And I really enjoyed hearing that word, and it was truly a blessing to me. And I truly thank the Lord for it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All of us.
Amen.
That are called and ordained to live in this last generation, and you ask yourself, why were you chosen to live and be birthed in this last generation? Why were you not born 5,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago? Why were you not born in Turkey, Syria, South America, North America, Iraq, Iran? Why were you born, planted, and birthed in America, USA, the greatest nation, the greatest blessed, favored nation on the earth? Why were you planted at this time, in this season? How do you be living today? Not coincident, not by luck, not by accident, but God ordained that you live today in the last generation. Now, because he has mission and purpose for you in this generation. He has ordained each of us in the body of Christ and those that are not yet in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. So don't treat your life and your purpose as being little or small or insignificant. Don't let the devil downplay. Don't let people downplay your great and great assignment to be born, planted, and birthed in America, in this nation at this time, for such a time like Esther, who thought that her insignificant life, she thought her life was insignificant until it began to unfold. Then Esther found out, wow, we don't fully understand our worth and value to God because we are little people and insignificant to the world. But Esther, did not know when she started on her journey how significant her life going to affect us and the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, Sister Helen and Sister Lola Anderson and all the women who are mothers and wives and helpers and ministry, don't let nobody downplay. Don't let no church mind, no religious mind, no people display your value in the kingdom of God to share the gospel and share
Amen.
The love of God.
Amen.
Stand forth in the generation. Don't let nobody tell you, well, you're a woman or you're Amen. This or you're that. Throw that, well, no, I can't say that. Throw that in the garbage can.
Amen.
You're a child of God. You're birthed, born, washed, redeemed, an heir, joint heir, Roman. Know that. That's revelation of who you are in Christ. Don't let nobody just, oh, you just read the church, you just to feel the church view your religion. Throw that nonsense in the garbage can.
Yeah.
And do the works of God.
Mm-hmm.
That the Holy Ghost and plant seeds and awaken people. Sister Helen, Sister Lana, you don't have to get arrogant. You don't have to get proudful or boastful. You just have to be submissive and say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes,
mm-hmm.
Lord,
yes,
yes, Lord.
Amen.
And
Thank
pay the
you.
Price of being persecuted, despised, and rejected. Listen, as we go, Jesus and his apostles was rejected by the religious world.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Amen.
Wait, get that straight now.
Amen.
The zealots, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, who were the prominent Jewish representative in that day, most of them rejected Jesus and his words and his truth. Today, we're living in the last generation. A lot of the church world, what we call Christians, also will downplay the full gospel of Christ, and will look at you and say you are fanatic, and you out of your place. As long as you walk in Jesus, don't worry about what the church say. What about the head of the church say? Remember, there's respect everybody, regard everyone, but the last word in your life is the head of the Christian church. Who is the head? Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2. He is the head of the body. Remember, it's the head. It's the body. Must have the last soul in your life.
Amen.
Amen.
And don't be afraid of man.
Amen.
Or devil. When they, as I close, I say the Pope is a false prophet. You don't like it? Take it up with Jesus.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
If I'm wrong, go to the head.
Man.
Your head is the head of Jesus Christ. Take it up with him and tell him to hit me with a rod.
Jesus.
And give me some whooping. Yes, I call him a liar and a deceiver. Because I'm on an assignment to discern darkness from light and to reveal to people. Yes, I'll say that moments in gross darkness and abomination. There's, God loves them. Yes, I'll say that Confucius needs the light of Christ, Hindu. Yes, I'll say Mr. Trump needs to be humble and humble before Christ. Yes, I'll say that.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, I'll say I make mistakes. That I'm not flawless. But his grace is sufficient.
Yes,
so I just want to say that to every believer out there, Christ has a place for you in his kingdom. And his, no matter what you are, how bad or how terrible your sin, he has a place for you. He has designed in his kingdom and his family. He has a place for you today.
Yeah.
Make a decision. And don't let nobody, anyone in the world, tell you that Jesus Christ, who's the head and the Redeemer, don't have a place and a purpose for your life. Oh, Sister Helen, you just sit over there and be quiet. Don't share the testimony of Jesus. Sister Anderson, don't toot your horn. Turn your horn off there. Sit down somewhere and thank you. Cook the chicken dinner there and pass it over here. Cook the dinner and clean the floor. But after you get through doing all of that, toot your horn.
Amen.
Toot your horn, blow your horn that God gave you. Put the horn to your mouth and blow the trumpet in Zion.
Amen.
Blow loud and clear.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let them call you whatever they want to call. They call me all kind of names. Do I care? Pray for my pride. Pray for my arrogance. Do I care because they don't like me what I say? We're not running no popularity contest here in the kingdom. We don't want to offend nobody. We don't want to hurt anybody. We don't wound anybody. But we're not running no popularity contest.
And then,
oh yes, I'll get voted out all the time.
I have to agree with you. I have to agree with you.
Do I care? The only thing I worry about, am I pleasing you, Lord?
Yes, Lord. Oh, yes.
And if I offend you, come to me. Don't backbite me. Stick me in the back. Come to me, and I'll humble myself and say, forgive me. But if you want to stick holes in my back and spears in my side and think that you're, I'm righteous. I belong to the only one. I'm this. No, you are a hypocrite.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
And so I say to you, Jesus, love is good enough to forgive people that humble themselves.
Amen. Amen.
So I love you. And I'm still making mistakes. And you are too. But the thing that Jesus said, admit it and humble yourself. And I'll turn your mistakes into victory.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Glory
to God. So I want you all to be blessed everywhere you're listening. I appreciate your brother Nate, the man of God, and brother Robert, and brother Kevin, and Emmanuel, and all the people known and unknown in every place. I appreciate you. The prayer of the righteous availeth much.
Yes,
I appreciate brother Allison. I know he don't say nothing. I appreciate Donald Thompson. He don't say nothing. They stay in the corner. It's okay. That's what God wants you to do, stay in the corner. I ain't got no problem with it. If he command you to sit in that chair, sit there. If he command you, Brother Thompson, or Brother Eddie Secret, I love you. Brother, man, I'm for you. I'm praying for you that the will of God be done in your life. Whatever the Lord tells you to do, do that, do that, do that.
Amen.
I'm not your final judge. He's the judge. Whatever he tells you to do, do that. Jesus.
Amen.
Because he's the Alpha and the Omega.
Amen.
I'm not the Alpha and Omega. He's the Alpha and Omega.
Yes.
Okay? So now we lift our hands and we come in agreement as we pray. We offer everyone the gift of salvation through Christ. Everyone that's willing to receive Jesus Christ as Savior, Lord, and Redeemer, you can say today, right now, behold, he's standing at the door and knock, Revelation 3:20. He wants to come into your life to transform and redeem. You can say, here I am, Lord Jesus. Here I am, Lord Jesus, who died for my sins and rose again. Here I am. I want you in my life. Come, live your life in me. Transform me. Deliver me. Cleanse and wash away my sins and my iniquity. Make me whole. Make me a part of the family of God. I trust you. I trust you to be my Lord and Savior. Come live your life in me. Come live your life. Break every yoke. Break every cord. Break every demon. Break every addiction. Break every curse. Drive it out in Jesus' name. Let the blood of Jesus wash me white as snow. Heal me. Make me whole. Fill me with the Holy Ghost that I may. And then, Lord, cause me to be baptized in your name, Jesus, when I come to a church congregation whom you have sent me to, whom you lead me to.
Yes.
That it shall be well with my soul. I thank you to all of you that make that decision tonight. And I want to say, as we lift our hands for our nation at the crossroad, because 2021 is another year that we have not talked about what's going to break. Just like we talked about 2017, what's going to happen in 2020. We need to awaken the people.
Yes, Lord.
And not be afraid of man.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Be
Jesus.
Not afraid of
Amen.
Man.
Amen. Jesus.
So I want to say to, as we lift our hands and go off this broadcast, I pray for Turkey.
Yes, Lord.
And all those in Asia Minor.
Yes.
I pray for those in the Mediterranean area to the ends of the North Pole and that people.
Yes, Lord.
To Siam, Bermuda, to the tip of the California East Coast, to the volcanoes over the Middle East, over Japan, over China, over Paraguay, Brazil, all of those that in Russia and North Korea and China, Ethiopia, that are listening tonight, Jesus' finger is pointed towards you and your nation and your people.
Yes, Jesus.
Such diligent the scriptures. If you have a Bible, if you don't, just call on Jesus the Christ. If you're not permitted to read the Bible, just get in your home and call upon the Lord Jesus. Say, show me, vivid me, Lord. Help me. And he will come. I want you to know that God is mindful of our nation, America, and we pray for many decisions, whether they want Mr. Trump or Mr. Biden, but that's not the most important thing. Your decision is, will you make Jesus the king of your life?
Amen.
The Lord
Thank
of your
you.
Life. Make him the head,
Amen.
Because no matter who's in that White House, if Jesus is Christ is not in your house and you're not in his, you still ain't going to be delivered by who's president.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
I love you. Say the last prayer, Brother Nate.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this blessed day in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are grateful for the many things that you have done and blessing on this broadcast tonight. We ask that you will water the seed that was sown and bring forth the increase in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we are grateful for this door that you have opened, this opportunity that you have given us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and to give the testimony of our Lord and Savior. And we will give you glory and honor and praise and magnify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise be to God.
Amen.
We'll get another broadcast tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Brother Robert and myself look for the advertisement then. So for Brother Lee and Brother Nate, this is with Sister Anna, Sister Teague, we love you all. God bless you and God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Amen.
God bless you all.
God bless you all.